Hey, what's up, everybody, and welcome to another edition of I Won't Stop Until I Win. I am your host, Jose Flores, and each week I'll be sharing inspiring stories of people who push through the pain, who overcome adversity, and who keep on running their race to become the winners they are today. So thank you for spending some time with me, and let's jump right into the show. Hey, what's going on, family? Thanks again for hanging out with me for another week of I Won't Stop Until I Win. Hey, listen, before I jump into every podcast episode, you know, I always like to take a few moments to give God some thanks because I believe that without him, none of this would be possible. So I just pray that somebody out there that's listening is encouraged, motivated, inspired to not only learn more and do more, but to become more, and that can grab some of these nuggets that we're going to drop on today's show and apply them to their lives in a mighty way. I pray that in Jesus' name. Thanks again for hanging out with me. Listen, guys, I say it every single time I bring on a guest. You know, I bring nothing but the fire, and this week is no different. Amen. Today's guest is a real estate investor, inspirational speaker, confidence coach, author, narrator, and entrepreneur. Born and raised in my hometown, Bronx, New York, actually raised in Harlem, but schooled in Yonkers, so we already got a connection. But as a real estate investor, my next guest has executed and successfully closed hundreds of highly complex residential real estate investment transactions, flipping his first property with no money, no credit, almost 17 years ago. He's also the co-founder of Confidence Factor, which is an exclusive entrepreneurial-minded men's community. Ladies and gentlemen, no further ado, my friend, my brother, Bobby B, Robert Jenkins, a.k.a. Bobby B, Bobby Billionaire. What's going on, my brother?
What's happening, brother? Today's a great day, man. Best day of my life, baby. I'm happy to be here. I appreciate you letting me come and share a little bit with your people.
Awesome, man. Awesome, man. I personally think it was long overdue, but I'm glad that our schedules are finally able to correlate so that we can bring you on the show, man.
Yeah, the appointed time, right?
That's the appointed time.
I love it.
That's right. So I want to jump into a lot of things, man. But before we get into all the real good stuff that you've been rocking and rolling with lately and all the amazing things that you're doing, all the people that you're impacting, just always like to have my guests, you know, bring it back a little bit, you know, bring it back to before you started to experience all the success, to before you started to have this incredible mindset. Bring it back to maybe in your earlier years when you were going through some struggles and adversities, because I like to paint a picture for people, because a lot of times we see so many successful people and we're like, wow, they have all these things and all these accolades and go to all these places, but we don't see what they had to go through to be able to accomplish those things or get those things or have those things. So take us back to when, you know, you weren't Bobby B that you are right now.
Yeah, man, I take you back just a few years ago, man. I was actually in federal prison, man, sitting on the top bunk and just, you know, trying to figure out, you know, how did I get here? You know, of all places, how did I get here? So that was the time I was sitting in federal prison. I was about to go into my 36th birthday and, you know, sitting up on that top bunk, man, you know, it was something, because I realized, you know, up to that point, I dealt with depression for so many years. I battled with depression for 2 decades. Wow. I dealt with depression. And had, you know, even had suicide attempts, man, not like one, but like a few, you know, and it was tough. It was tough because, you know, the seed is planted from a young age. You know, you desire something for your life. You know, you want to, you know, be more, do more, have more, like everybody says, right? And then, you know, you go through life and then life start beating up on you and you start thinking, you know, maybe this is going to happen. Maybe this is not going to happen. You know, so I found myself on the top bunk sitting in the cubicle with 4 other dudes sharing, sleeping with 5 people in a small space, you know, with all my belongings, you know. And it was a rough spot. It was a really rough spot, because at that point, I realized, like, I have to make some type of decision. I don't know what decision, but I'm going to have to make some type of decision where I go from here, because I'm not going to fit in where I just left, right? I don't even know where I'm going, so I'm uncertain about the future, and I'm currently in a position I do not like. Bro, that's not a rock in a hard place. That's a rock in a hard place and a boulder on top. You follow me? But, you know, my thought was, hey, if I can push this weight up off of me, right? If I can get this weight off me, I just might make it.
So how was, you know, how were you able to get rid of that depression? How were you able to overcome that? How were you able to change that mindset?
You know, the whole thing about mindset, and this is, you know, it's wild because it's really so simple, right? It's literally just shifting. That's it. You just have to make a change. But, you know, the thing is, you know, how do you make that change? There's some people that don't realize they need to make a change, right? So you got some unconsciously conscious people out there, unconsciously unconscious people. They don't even know what they don't even know. That's you right. know what I mean? And you know, what do you do if you don't even know? You're going to think that everything is external and outside yourself. You're going to think that something else is controlling your game, mm-hmm. you know? And so you say, well, how do you make that decision? You know, you make that decision from the depression standpoint and how I came out of that. I never thought when I was sitting on the top bunk, I was about to, it was the day before my 36th birthday. And I was on the top bunk and I remember like tensing up my body so tight. And I was so frustrated, so angry. I didn't know whether to laugh. I didn't know whether to cry. I didn't know what, I couldn't shout. I couldn't make them think I'm a crazy person because then they throw you in solitary by yourself for like a long time. So I had all of this energy and I didn't even know what to do. And literally I just like just tensed up. And then I tensed up. It's like it just hit me like, bam, you never even thought to ask God to take it away.
Wow.
I said, oh, it's like, you know, I said, man, it's been 20 years. I never, even as when I used, you know, when I was in the church, you know, I never thought to ask God to take it away. Never. I just didn't put any intention to it. So right before that, I went to sleep. I remember thinking, I wish this would just go away. Man, I wish I had a book and like some, you know, encyclopedias and a course to tell you, like, you could do it. Just follow these steps. Bro, yeah. It was like one step. It was like, I just want this to go away. And I thought to myself, you know, God, take this away. And I went to sleep. And when I went to sleep that night, it was really wild because the depression, the onset of the depression came from my grandmother, from her passing. I didn't know how to deal with death. You know, I remember one person had died in my life, and that was my brother's godmother. And when she died that night, I did sit-ups, I think for about 7 hours. And they thought I was bugging, but I didn't know how to deal with death. Nobody sat me down. Nobody processed anything. We didn't talk about it, discuss it, what to do next. I just knew she was here. She was never coming back. The truth is, I didn't even really like her. But she was family. And yeah. she was there. And she was amongst us. So, you know, that confused me. But then, you know, you fast forward, you know, my grandmother left. It was like everything I was working towards was to buy my grandmother a house, get her, take her up out of there because she was hustling and moving, trying to take care of all, you know, a madhouse. You know, we had up to 14 people, you know, so wow. I was working towards that. So when she died, it was like a snip. It was like a tearing, a ripping of my soul from me, you know?
Yeah.
And when that happened, I went into the depression. So you fast forward back to that asking God to that night on the top bunk, I'm sitting there and then now I'm asking God to take it away. I go to sleep. When I go to sleep, I'm in this dream. And I promise, man, I felt like I was awake. And I was dancing in a ballroom with my grandmother. We were like just, bro, I never even took a class. You understand? But it was so graceful and so smooth. We were just dancing together. She was dressed in a beautiful gown. I had on a tuxedo. We were looking sharp, you know? And we were just dancing. And you know, there was no audible music, but there was a movement, you know?
Rhythm.
A flow. Yeah, rhythm. And we were just in sync. And I remember going to dip her down. And when I brought her back up, it was my spiritual mom. Mm. She had changed form, and it was my spiritual mom. And in that instant, I knew I was never left. She's always been there in different forms and different ways. And, you know, you get goosebumps thinking about it. Mm-hmm. Because when you think about the presence, it's like, you know, where are you going to go with that presence? You know, mm-hmm. where you are a presence. You are a force, a life force. So. Mm-hmm. When I realized that she just changed form, I realized she's been with me the entire time in different forms. Sometimes as a stranger, sometimes the person next to me. And most recently, my wife has helped me to heal in my own personal life by taking on the form or the spirit or the essence of my grandmother. By listening to me over the years, she's collected memories, the words that I've said, things that she's asked other family members. She's embodied the essence of my grandmother. And when she took on that persona, it then began to help me to heal more. Mm. And so, man, it was a whole journey, but it's a beautiful thing, right? It's a beautiful thing because, you know, you think about it, you say, what you know now and what you've gone through, being on the other side of that thing, you're like, man, that I'm glad I didn't know up front.
And you know, it's amazing what, you know, it's amazing the things that we experience in life and the things that we go through. And they always saying like hindsight is 20/20, and then getting to a certain level and you're able to look back and pinpoint, you know, what it was that caused this, what it was that changed that, right? And going through life and going through the processes and going through the journey. So you come out of that depression. You've always, ever since I've known you, you've been an entrepreneur. So you come out of that situation of being in prison and having that depression, releasing that depression. So you come out and you start hammering away. What was that shifting in your mind that said, you know, I gotta start learning more, doing more, and becoming more, and start attacking life like never before?
You know, prison is a funny place, right? It's a funny place because on the way up during that success, you know, I was telling, you know, there's a weight of your words. There's weight of words. Got to remember that. There's a weight of words, carries its own weight, right? And it's seed, it's life. And so I remember traveling, you know, speaking at churches and telling people I was on the way up now. I'm on the way up. You know, I got nice brand new cars and money coming in left and right. I remember telling people, I want to be able to help anybody. I want to be, no matter what they've been through, whether, you know, bad, marriage going bad, repos, foreclosures, been to prison. I'm just yapping, blah, 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 blah. going, right? Yeah. I didn't know. I thought that you're going to just keep going up. What I didn't know is I was about to be planted. I was about to go into the ground, man. And I was about to, you know, go through... Wow, a whole different world. And so with that being said, you know, when I went to prison, I had a chance to unplug from society. Now, this is important because I realize now other people don't really understand what's going on, but we're in a prison right now, right? Because this is exactly what we were experiencing before. For the first time, I didn't have to worry about bills. I didn't have to worry about who's going to call me, text message me, get over here to this appointment, try to close this deal, follow up with this client. I had nothing to do. Nothing to do. I was unplugged from the world. And it's the first time since I can remember being a small child that I had a chance to sit still and do nothing at all. And so being unplugged, what happened, this guy walks up to me. I remember I've always had ideas, always ideas, but I could do ideas in the drop of a dime. You give me any situation, spur the moment, right in front of your face, I can come up with 7 ideas on whatever you just told me. This guy walks up to me and hands me this book. And he says, man, you know, man, there's something different about you. He says, I want to give this book to you because I think you really appreciate it. And I looked at him and I remember thinking to myself, man, we're in prison. Why is this guy sharing with me? I'm new. I don't know the rules. But I'm saying, why is this guy sharing with me? And what can he see? Because I'm not talking to anybody and I'm not telling anybody my business. So he hands me the book. And then I start flipping through and I realize on the outside, my wife had handed me this book, right? And so this is all important because I realize this is the time for me to organize my thoughts. This is the time for me to figure out what I want to get out of this world. This is the time for me to start putting things into place of how I think it should go. And I began reading that book several times. I began just start reading and reading and reading and reading. And then it hit me. I said, man, I'm now going to be one of those guys that have gone to prison and got self-educated, right? And I said, when I come out.
And what book was that? What was the book?
Oh, Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill.
Okay.
It was Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. Right. And it was one part of it that was very key for me in the book. And since then, it hit home with me and almost all the guys that I talked to. It hit homes with them the same way, which was most men start to feel like later on in life. Right. Or just people in general between like after your 40s or late 30s, you start to feel like you're running out of time. You know? Mm-hmm. I might not make it. And then it's like almost like that midlife thing starts to kick in, a little panic, a little frustration, a little anger. And you start thinking, I messed up. I'm behind the eight ball.
That's right.
I may not make it. But inside of the book, it says that between the ages of 40 and 60 is our prime. We think, society thinks that between 20 and 30 is your prime, but between 40 and 60 is your prime. And that's because when after Napoleon Hill had studied these 500 successful men, he's found in age range. People don't begin to hit their strides until 40. So I started thinking deeper. Well, why is that? First off, I use it as my story. And so, as you know, you teach your people, I'm sure, and all the people around you, we all say everybody has a story. And we're all believing in a story. And the story that we tell ourselves is the person that we ultimately become. So with that being said, that gave me a reason. It gave me a new story to use so that I can keep pushing. Because at that point, I thought I was out of time. So if I take the out of time road, it won't lead me to where I want to go. That's not a good story. So I cut that story off. And I found a new story, which was between 40 and 60 is your prime. And I said, well, I'm only 36. I'm 4 years ahead of the game, right? So I flipped the story on myself and began to use that and began to push and begin to strive forward.
Man, I love that, bro. That's a powerful story right there in itself. You should definitely use that in your if you're not already using that in your speaking presentation. That's powerful, man. That means I'm 43, so I'm right in a sweet spot. I'm about to start sprouting like crazy.
That's a
powerful story, man, when you can actually take that concept of, like you said, man, it was a small shift from I'm out of time, right? I'm running out of time. Mm-hmm. I'm behind the eight ball to I'm actually ahead of the game. I'm 4 years ahead of the game. And it was just that small shift, that small mindset pivot, right, that you made that now allows you to have this new fire, this new energy, this new drive, this new passion to live life like never before because you're about to enter into your prime, which is absolutely amazing. So let's shift a little bit right now. So now you're a real estate investor, you're making moves, you're into the speaking game, you are the co-founder of Confidence Factor. So let's talk about the speaking aspect first, your speaking game. What's the message that you want everyone? What's your message that you're trying to let everybody hear?
Yeah, think you can. Think you can. That's the solution. It's always the solution. It's the solution for everything. I don't care where you go. I don't care what you're doing. I don't care what pops up in front of you. I don't care what kind of trial. I don't care what kind of situation. Think you can. That's it. You see, you know, I had a chance to share with someone the other day. It was so powerful because I had that poem. One of the most impactful people in my life was Willie Jolly. I took this guy's one book, Willie Jolly, and I know you know him, and I know he's one of your mentors and friends. And, you know, to me, he's one of the major, Willie Jolly in that one book, right, had shifted me in so many different ways. But what came out of that book was this one poem by an author that was unknown. And they say that when God gives you a word, God gives you a message or whatever it is, man, you could chew on that probably forever. And that one thing I've been using for 20 years, when I've gotten great strides, it's because I focused on that poem. Mm. When I didn't get good strides, it's because I wasn't focusing on that poem. Mm. You understand? And it's my message to everyone would be to think you can. That's it. If you think you can, there, you know, I heard Jim Rohn say, you know, how long would you give your, if your baby wasn't walking when it was supposed to walk, how long would you give it to go ahead and walk? Like, at what point are you going to quit? At what point would, you know, as a parent, would you say, look, you know, I throw in the towel? No, man, you're going to do whatever it takes for how long. So it's not an if, it becomes a win.
That's right.
It's not an if, it becomes a win. But you have to think you can. And there's nothing impossible to a person that believes. You got to believe. That's think powerful. You can. That's powerful, right?
It reminds me of that story you shared with me that you sent me, actually, where you were doing some workouts and I guess you were maxed out and you was like, man, I can't do anymore. And then you started thinking, if Jose was here, Jose would do it. And that, yes. And it's like, yeah. It's funny how, and then you wound up doing it and doing extra and executing it. But it's funny, the reason I mentioned that is because it's funny how you can hold on to something or you can use something that can help catapult you out of a situation. So like you were using Willie Jolly's poem to catapult you out of a situation. When you focus on it, you're making strides, you're doing good, you're focusing on the positive. And when you're not focused on it, that's when some of maybe the negativity might start attaching or popping up and different things happen. And then like when you said, you were fired up when you were doing the workout. You was like, man, if Jose was here, I know he would do it. Cause I mean, that's, man, I would, you know me, man, my mindset is like, I don't know if you saw on social media recently, I just posted a little video about how I was trying to open up the freezer door. Did you see that one?
I didn't see it yet. I'm going to look after this though.
Brother, you got to check that one out. I'm not even going to share it with you because I want you to watch it. Then you can call me later.
Okay.
Feedback, but it's somewhere along that those lines of I can believe I can.
Yes.
And when you believe you can, you will. That is so powerful, man. I love that. That's an amazing message that you're conveying to your audiences, man, is to believe I can, because I think that's a major point where that people struggle with is believing in themselves, believing that things are possible, believing that they have the capabilities and the abilities. And once you can develop that mindset that says, I think I can, I know I can, and then that becomes from, you know, thinking, knowing to actually doing, it's life-changing, man. So that's a powerful message that you're sharing with your audience, man. Now let's talk about the confidence factor. You co-founded the confidence factor. I know what that's about. I've been a part of it. I've been seeing you guys grow and expand, and it's amazing, the group of guys that are there. But tell everybody who's listening that doesn't know about it, tell them what it is, and if they want to get involved, how they can do that as well.
Yeah, so Confidence Factor is a community for entrepreneur-minded men. We help guys to, you know, to develop themselves and pursue their confidence factor. So, and in this group, what we do is, you know, reading books has been so powerful. Last year, I read over 55 books. Had never done that before, right? And I'm understanding, you know, from a kid, we used to hear, you know, leaders are readers, readers are leaders, and you know, you hear the little saying, it's a child, you don't know what it is. You don't know what it means. You don't know that it's power and what these people are saying. And so I realized, you know, from last year, I said, I need to even do another overhaul. You know, you keep changing and you keep, metamorphosizing here. And then I said, last year I read 55 books. So what I found is in through reading these books, you mentioned about how I said, if Jose was here, I would do it. He would do it. And that's because you made an impression on me. Right? You made an impression on me. It's no different than, you know, it's the magnetism and the repetition, right? We're trying to hold a frequency. And the frequency we're holding is that I am more, I can do more, I will have more, right? There's a whole group of people that's on that realm. You're on that realm. So when I get into a space where I feel like I can't, I'm thinking about people who would say, I think I can. You come to mind. During that time, I was in your mastermind. That was important to me because I needed that. I was trying to level up and level up and level up. And sometimes, you know, we want it to go a certain way, but you know, you got to give it its time. It's the appointed time. At the appointed time, when that arrow is released, it's going to hit that target and it's going to hit the bullseye if I'm involved, because I'm going to focus. I'm going to make sure I get it. So you made that impression on me. When I went to do the workout and I wasn't doing enough, I knew there was more inside, but how do you get it out? You dig inside. How do you dig inside? You pull the energy from somebody that you know that has that type of mindset, that if they were standing in front of you, they'd be like, yo, bro, don't make me come down there and do it, because I would do it, right? You're that type of person. So Confidence Factor is a community where you can get into that type of sphere. You remember when we were kids, we got in that thing at the fair that spun around, and then you went against the wall, and the floors dropped, and you like just magnetized, and you held to the wall. Well, guess what? It doesn't matter what happened or what's going on around you. You're magnetized in that state. You're in that vortex. You're just going. You can't drop to the floor. Even though you know it's a lot of bad stuff, you know if you drop, it's going to be horrible, but you're magnetized to that wall. Confidence Factor is that community of men where we got people such as yourself, people like myself that have gone through something, that have been there, done that, found ourselves making a mistake, failed a little bit. It's like, nah, I still have to do it. You know, it's nothing like, you know, for me, it's powerful. One time, my wife turned to me real quick one time and said, I want everything you promised me. I said, oh my God. I said, oh my God. She said, I want everything you promised. I'm like, hey, I had a good set before, but she's like, we currently not where we can be. There's more in you, there's more in me, and we got to do this now. I want what you promised. When you was talking about, let's get married, you're going to do this and do that, show up, brother. Let's get it done. And so I got to dig deep. So I'm like, look, I got to work smart, not hard. When I was young, I could work hard and, I got to work smart. So what's the best thing to do? Get around a bunch of brothers who's going to read some books, who we're going to grow and develop together. So Confidence Factor is nothing more than a community of men. It's only men. We come in, we get in the champion's vault. We read books. we discover, you know, what we thought about that chapter or that verse or whatever. How did it apply to your life and how did you get through it? And then what happens is, man, you hear brothers talking to brothers. Sometimes we just sit back and watch, and this guy has a daughter and this guy has a daughter, and they're like, yeah, well, what I did with my daughter was, and he's like, oh, I never even thought about that. Then he goes back and tried and comes back and says, it worked. And now this guy didn't have the situation at all. But if he's home by himself and his mind is thinking, I can't, and his mind is down in the wrong place, and he's got negative people all around him, brother, it's going to be hard to get out of that magnetized vortex. And that's why people like Grant Cardone tell you, hey, 10X. Because if you're coming out by yourself, you got to ramp that thing up hard. But you got to go hard. But if you go hard with a bunch of other brothers, man, it makes it a lot easier. So confidence factor to me is everything. We're going to take back Father's Day. Father's Day is good. Listen, Father's Day is going to mean something to the world because of confidence factor.
Wow, that's awesome, my brother. Father's Day is right around the corner, man, next month. So I can't wait for that, man. But that's dope, man. I'm super proud of you, man. I really, you know, enjoy watching your journey, watching you grow, hearing your story. Like, I'm here right now doing this, and I know a lot about you already, but there's some new things that you was talking about that I'm like you, I wish I could just do it, like put my hands on my cheek and just watch you, like, your stories, man. You know what I mean? Because it's just, you just have that magnetism about you. You have that, I mean, it comes without saying, man, you're from New York. So that comes natural to us, right? That swag, that conversation, that talk, that gift of gab. But, you know, you really have something special about you, Bobby, and I'm super proud of you, like I said. Now, let's just shift into the real estate investment, because I know a lot of people, there's a lot of people that are hurting right now, especially with the coronavirus. There's a lot of people not able to pay rent, people not able to pay their mortgage and things like that. So you did your specialty, your area of expertise was dealing with a lot of highly complicated residential deals.
Yes.
What do you see in the future when it comes to real estate with what's been going on now, and how do you think people can protect themselves going forward?
I would say, you know, get around people that have been in real estate since before the last crash. Like, I got involved 2003. I came in at the height of the market, and, you know, I bought my property. I had multiple properties. That was something that, you know, during the last time I was thinking about the last recession, man, I was contemplating suicide. So I understand how rough it can get. Like, I know firsthand. Like, I typed out my letter, you know, left the house and was going to do my thing. Only God saved me. Only God. There was no human being around to help me for what I needed, the way I needed. It was only God. Wow. And that's a whole story in itself. But what I tell people right now, if you're listening to me on the sound of my voice, I'm saying, don't panic, man. Don't panic. Like, my number, you can go through Jose, do whatever we have to do. If it's a real estate deal, man, 9 times out of 10, I can solve it. I'm not trying to be cocky. I enjoy it. I'm passionate about it. I sit on it. Real estate to me is like a tree. It's got many branches, many leaves. It's got a trunk. It's got roots. And all of it is beautiful to me. And I'll sit there and pick through every leaf and every branch with you to try to figure it out. But when you're under that amount of stress, what you have to do is get with a professional. Get with somebody who's been around from before the crash, and get with a professional with whatever specific thing that you're dealing with. So if you're dealing with foreclosure, go to a foreclosure specialist, you know? If you haven't financial aspects and you don't have the income to come in, then you need to find ways to figure out how to increase your income. But everything's solvable. If you find yourself with a property and you're under duress and you're stressed, there are at least 12 different programs that you can use. 6 of them will help you keep your house. 6 of them will help you sell your house. So there are options. You know, in life, they say for every situation, there's 7 solutions. And that's how I try to approach everything, especially when I attack real estate. There's 7 solutions to it. We only need 1. When I was in prison and I was there, I was physically held. I only needed 1 idea to get out. God could have gave me 7. He gave me 2, 1 for the, you know, for the depression. And he gave me 1 to, you know, push me towards getting towards leadership again. So you only need 1 idea, and it could come from anywhere at any given time. Don't give up. There's a book that if you need to sell your house quickly, I don't know if I can share it, Jose. Yeah. I have nothing to do with the book. I don't make any money off of it or anything. But how powerful this was is there was a guy during the last recession. He was going to actually go commit suicide. And I went to go talk with him. It was funny because I helped him not kill himself. And then I turned around. I was actually going to go do it myself. Right? Wow. It was really weird. Yeah, it was pretty wild. But like I said, God was there for me. But when I talked to him, I asked him one question. I said, if there was anything else you could do, what would you do? So instead of go killing yourself, just what is one thing that you can do if you can do anything? And he said, you know, he starts thinking about it, right? There's the shift. That's all we were looking for, was the shift. That's once right. It got the shift away from killing to possibility, I knew we were in. So from that point, we started going. Well, here's what he found. He found this book, How to Sell Your Home in 5 Days. Now, I don't make any money off this. I don't know the author or anything, right? This is just a solid book that I know a lot of people can probably use. And in the book, this guy tells you how to skip the whole traditional process of putting your house in the market and get with a realtor, waiting 6 months and all that kind of stuff out there. Some realtors, you know, they may not like it, but I'm in it for the person solving the situation. It's about solving it. And you need the best, fastest, most convenient way to do that, right? And the most affordable. Everybody's going to need that. This is something you can do yourself. He borrowed most of the resources from me after he read the book on how to do it. He was around me and asked me certain questions about my marketing. I was able to show him how to do that. I didn't make any money on the deal or anything. He actually not only sold that property, it was a high-end property, about $430,000. He had another property that was $750,000, and he sold both of those properties using that book right dead smack in the middle of the Great Recession.
Wow, that is powerful, brother. And that was How to Sell Your House in 5 Days by Bill Ferros?
Yeah, I wish I could... Bill Efros.
How to Sell Your House. Yeah. How to Sell Your House in 5 Days by Bill.
And they have a whole community. They have a whole community when you buy the book where they have a website, people can go inside. And again, you're magnetizing that vortex of people solving, not giving up, solving. Get around winners, get around people that are going after it. And once that little shift takes place, I'm telling you, it's like your rocket going to the sky, man.
That's right, man. If you're listening right now or you're watching right now and you're going through a struggle, a challenge, an adversity, whether it's real estate, whether it's mindset, depression, whatever it is, I want you to just stop and take a moment and just say to yourself, say it out loud. Say, I won't stop until I win. Say it again. I won't stop.
I won't stop until I win.
Right? Because what you're doing is you're programming your mind. You're programming your conscious and your subconscious mind to believe that. And then when you feel like giving up, that's going to pop its head up and say, remember you said, I won't stop until I win. That's going to give you the push that you need to keep on moving forward. Listen, guys, we had an amazing time today. Bobby, thank you so much for sharing so much gems and wisdom and knowledge and the books. I'll put the links in the comments when this episode drops. I'll put the links for all of that stuff in the comments. But listen, Bobby, where can people find more about you? Where can people book you if they want to book you to come speak at an event or an engagement or come speak to their company or a real estate event or whatever it is? Or if you have any products, I know you're working on a book that's going to be coming out soon. And guys, if you liked some of the stories that you heard here, and I know that some of you are probably asking, what did he go to prison for? You're going to need to wait till the book comes out to find all of that information out. Right. That's a little teaser cliffhanger for you to get the book when it comes out. But, the book is going to be powerful. Where can people find more about Bobby B?
Oh, you can just go to BobbyB.com. BobbyB.com. Just go to BobbyB.com. Anything with real estate, and you can call me, man. I'm old school. I'm a salesperson. You pick up my phone, I'm going to talk to you. So if I can give out my number is 904-888-6800. 904-888-6800. Got a real easy number. And just give me a shout, man. We just chatted up. If you feel like quitting, giving up, you just need somebody to talk to, hit me up, man. That's what I'm here for. God has blessed me to be able to do this, and this is what I'm going to do. So I appreciate you.
I love that, man. And not too many. I don't think anybody has ever given the phone number out like that in public, but that goes to show you how real deal Bobby B is. So if you need help, you need somebody to come inspire your organization, motivate your organization, teach leadership to your organization and bring everybody to a whole new level, go ahead and reach out to him. BobbyB.com.
.com. Yeah.
BobbyB.com. And I'll put all that in the show notes as well, guys. Listen, have an amazing day, an amazing week. And until next week, make sure that you don't stop until you win. Take care and God bless. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to this episode of I Won't Stop Until I Win. Once again, I am your host, Jose Flores, and make sure you visit me at joseinspires360.com, where you'll see links to all my social media, where I'm bringing content like this every single day on how you can win and keep on winning. We have new episodes dropping every week, so make sure you guys like, subscribe, and share with other winners so that everyone can keep up with what's going on. Once again, I appreciate you tuning in, and we'll catch you on the next episode of I Won't Stop Until I Win.